Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very fortunate to live in a country where we can freely talk to you anytime, worship you anytime, and not have any ramifications to do it. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray for Glenda, who is going to have surgery this week on her shoulder, and we just pray that this surgery goes really well, that she has an easy recovery time. She's going to need to be doing exercises all the time to strengthen that shoulder and arm again, and so we just pray that she does that, and that ultimately this shoulder is going to be pain-free, and she will be able to use that arm again the way she likes would and needs to. We pray for Scott. We pray for everybody that is battling depression in one form or another, and we just pray that there's medications available, counseling available, friends available, whatever it would need to help these people that suffer with this. And it's such a difficult thing to deal with. Sometimes we want to say, well, just put a smile on your face, or just go for a ride, or just this, and it just doesn't work like that. And so we pray for understanding for everybody who encounters or knows of somebody that's dealing with this, and help them in whatever way you can to get through it. We pray for our troops all over the world, and wonderful young people dedicating their lives so that we can have the kind of lives that we have. And this week I saw a couple documentaries on about the Vietnam War and the problems that came with it afterwards, and I'm sure it's the same now with Afghanistan and all the troubles in the Middle East. And we just pray for these young people that do so much and do put their lives on the line, and they see awful things, and they have to do awful things, and we just pray that you're with each and every one of them, protect them, help them through this situation, help their families at home, so we can continue to live in comfortable settings like we do. But it's all because of these wonderful young people that are over there protecting everything for us. We pray for our young people who will be going to CHIC. This is such a wonderful experience for the young people, and it's a time where they can have so much fun, and yet at the same time they're learning more about God, and they can strengthen their beliefs and their thoughts and everything that is associated with you. And we just pray that their travel is safe, that they're able to attend all these functions that are going to be there for them, and that they will indeed come back wonderful, strong, dedicated Christians. We pray for Julie and Galen and Jeannie as they travel. We pray that both, like Galen gets home and Jeannie gets to her destination safe and sound, that they don't get overtired, that they know when to stop when they're feeling tired, and that they will be able to get back where they're going to be going, and safe and sound. We pray for John as he undergoes removal of this skin cancer, and we just pray that the surgical procedures go very well, that the wisdom for the doctors will know everything that needs to be taken away, and that John will come out of this totally cancer-free and with no spreading or any other problems associated with this. We pray for Megan's upcoming wedding, and we just know the trauma that can lead a family through when you're preparing for a wedding. And so we just pray that all the things that have to fall into place now this last month will. People will help, let them know that you're there to help them, and that if there's anything you can do, that you offer to do it. And for these young couple now that are going to be getting married, we just pray that they always know to put you first in their married life, and that you can carry them through anything. And we just hope with everything that we've got that they will understand that and do that. And we pray for Nathan with his ongoing problems, and we always hear that sometimes, or most of the time, people have to reach bottom before they ask for help and can turn their lives around. And if that's the case, Lord, we pray that that could happen to this young man. And there's so much more that he could be experiencing in life if he would stop the drinking, if he would stop doing the things that he's doing. But he just has to come to that point where he decides himself that enough is enough. And we just pray, Lord, that you put people in his life that could help him do this, that you help him accept any help that's offered to him, and that he could quit the things that he's doing and literally start a different life. We offer thanksgiving, Lord, for everything that we have. We are the richest people on earth, and we live in a wonderful place where we can worship you, where we can do just about anything we want. And we have all of this because of you, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. We pray for guidance for our government when upcoming laws come, so that they do indeed do what is best for the country, and that they have the wisdom to know that they need to do certain things to help everybody. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. We love you so much. In your precious name, amen.
Okay, we'll take our offering now and a little special music.
God, we just thank you so much for this awesome day you've given us, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to give back to you a portion of what you've given us, Lord. We just pray that you'll prepare our hearts and just bless the rest of this service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is my desire to I give.
to be with us through the rest of the service. We ask you to be with Donnie, Lord, and we just ask you to give him the words to speak, and we just ask that you be with us through the rest of the day and our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'll get my message open to the right page. I'm going to start with prayer, so please pray with me. Lord, it is you who gives the increase. It is you who gives the water. It is you who gives the seed, Lord, but you give us opportunities to be a part of that growth. And we pray, Lord, that the words you hear this morning, the words that come out of my mouth, that they would be sufficient to help us with that assistance that we can give you in the growth, that the increase would be to your glory. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Lord, amen. Good morning to one and all on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. Chris and I thank you for having us. I'm not offended by the church not being, like hanging off the edge of the seats, because Chris and I haven't seen the inside of our church for 6 weeks. And you might say to yourself, well, that doesn't sound like you're a very good guy. We've been going to a sanctuary down at Maple Lake. Chris's family owns a cabin there. We've met the Lord many, many, many Sundays there. But we do have to get back to our church and worship. But we are so blessed to be here this morning. When I walked in and we're greeted by Chuck and Faye, We told them that we so love coming here because we feel love, and we feel that we are loved. And I don't think that'll ever end. It's so wonderful to be here, to sing the songs. I like the ancient words, being a Gideon. So, Galen and I have become wonderful, close, really close friends. We're brothers, we're maybe a little more than brothers. We tell each other that we love each other. That's how close we are. And I am so glad to see Galen go once in a while so I can come and give you a message about the Gideon ministry. But first of all, I'm going to give a little message, a little bit of a message about God's Word. And then I'll give you the exciting news about the Gideons. I purposely kept our scriptures short and sweet this morning so we can focus on some of the key points. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read verses 16 and 17. I'll give a moment. I cheated, mine's open already. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That pretty much says it all. Yep. One of the hardest things about speaking to a large group like this is the range of spiritual experience that we have. Amongst us, we can have non-Christian curiosity seekers. We can have non-Christian genuine seekers that are looking for an answer. Beginning Christians, we always have beginning Christians in our midst. Sometimes we call them baby Christians. That's okay. We have established Christians, but that are still a novice, that are still learning and growing, have just kind of gotten their feet wet. And then, of course, the mature Christians. One would think that each group would need a customized message for them to understand the Word of God, but our good friend the Holy Spirit he has a way of saying just the right words to just the right people at just the right time, so we can rest assured that everything that comes out of the Word of God goes to where it needs to go. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. No matter where we are on our faith walk, let us fully understand that our holy God is in total command of His Word. In chapter 55 of the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we read, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Well, God's word started for us in the beginning of creation. In Genesis, God said, or it says, in chapter verse 3, it says, "And God spoke." And since then, He has been telling us all about Himself. His principles, His desires, which we can call His will. And there are four forms of literature that are used in the Bible to help us to understand this. And I think each one of them speaks to us individually, differently. And that's why it's so wonderful that they're all there. One form of literature is the narrative, which is like a story type of literature. That would be like Genesis, the Book of Ruth. You know, that's the chick flick. And the four Gospels, they're all given to us in story form. And we're given these stories so that we can discern knowledge through the way that God has interacted with His people, with His family. Second form of literature is the epistle, or the letter, which is God's word in the form of a letter from a prophet or an apostle to a person or a group. The best example of the holy epistle writer is the Apostle Paul. He penned most of the New Testament, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy. I mean, he penned for most of it. And here too, we are to discern knowledge of God's will for us through His messages that He sent to His children in the pen, from the pen of men. There's the poetry form of literature, and the most obvious poetry form is the Psalms. The Psalms were written by Jesus's his grandpa, King David. He wrote much of the book of Psalms, and we're given a wonderful example of what it is like to be a man after God's own heart. What a statement. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? When David was being sought out by the prophet Samuel to be anointed king of the Hebrews, we hear a wonderful story. Samuel, he went to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and Jesse met him at the door and said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I've come to sacrifice and to worship." Jesse had 8 sons, and David was the youngest. Jesse passed all 7 of David's older brothers before Samuel, and all 7 were not chosen by the Lord. God told Samuel, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Thus, a man after God's own heart." At last, Jesse sent for David, who was keeping the sheep, and he was brought before Samuel, and he was anointed to be the king of God's people. Are we men and women after God's own heart? The fourth form of literature is the wisdom form, and that's the advice form, like Proverbs. And that's where God expresses His will for us, and He tells us how we are to represent him in our circles of influence. So let's go back to our scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Then we move on. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. These are some pretty heavy subjects. Pretty heavy. And even though these four subjects are extremely necessary for us to be a follower of this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present God, we cringe when we hear them because we're humans. Doctrine. Who needs it? I mean, can't I just be a follower of Jesus, right? Well, it's been truthfully said that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Doctrine is how we set our standards so that when life throws us some of its nasty stuff, we can react to it the way that God wants us to. Reproof. I can think of a few people I'd like to reproof. Oops, did that come out? Oops. No. The best way I can explain that reproof is to describe the proofreader. A proofreader is someone whose job it is to check things over to make sure that they are right. When I was a scoutmaster of Troop 76, I was given the tremendous blessing of spending time with some wonderful young men. Most of the scouts were there for the adventure. They were there for the campfires, for the tents, for the food, and for the swimming and running around, you name it. But there was a few of them there that were there to prove their mettle. One of the scouts had an understanding of right and wrong that I haven't seen in adults. When the adventurous scouts were up to something that, let's say, was not proper, this young man was just sick about it. He went on to become an Eagle Scout, and I truly think he held himself to the standard of the Scout Law. Is there anybody here that can tell me what the Scout Law is? A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. It's a pretty big standard. It's tough to stand up to. Okay, reproof is the bringing to knowledge of a wrong act or thought. I'll say that again because I kind of paused. Reproof is the bringing to knowledge of a wrong act or thought. Not many of us like to be reproved, but we do need to be able to at least admit to ourselves that we all need it. We aren't God. And correction, boy, I kept some school teachers busy on that. Do we need to discuss correction? Yeah, we do. Correction is the act of making something that is wrong right. Haven't we all heard that two wrongs don't make a right? How about the little white lie? Or how about, that's just the truth the way you see it. I see it my way. Do we really need correction? Didn't Jesus die for our sins so that we could stand blameless in front of our Creator? Ultimately, isn't it God that we have sinned against? So why do we need correction if Jesus has already paid the price for us? Well, we need correction for many reasons. But most of all, it is so that we can live a life that brings glory to God our Redeemer. When we are corrected, we and those around us live a better life. A good friend, or I can call him my brother, gave me this advice one day. Our purpose as Christians is to be a blessing to others, period. That was good advice. How can we be an example of right living if we don't take wrong living seriously? Then for instruction in righteousness. Who needs instructions in righteousness? Huh. I'm a good guy. I swear to miss all those little animals, you know. I recycle. Okay, most of the time. But Don't I know how to be righteous? Does a cat know how to bark? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we need instruction in righteousness, but it's not like we're going to the dentist to have all of our teeth pulled out. Knowing what is righteous gives us a goal to shoot at. It gives us a target. Humans have been prone to sin ever since the Big Apple incident in the Garden of Eden. You want to hear a good one? The Apostle Paul, here's the Apostle Paul, wrote most of the New Testament, speaking in regards to his battle with sin in Romans 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Well, you know, you ask yourself, I think Paul, was Paul as human as I am? I think so. He was an apostle, but he was still human. So was John, Matthew, Mark, all of the apostles. Years ago, we had a pastor at Zion Lutheran Church by the name of Mark Rittman. Some people might remember him. Pastor Mark gave me a bit of advice on the instruction in righteousness when he spoke to me about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some say that once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are full and we do not need to be filled again. Pastor Mark said that it's true. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we are full. But we Lutherans, we leak. It seems that the world is wearing away at us and wearing away at our faith. And we need to be refilled daily by the Word of God. Yep, let's return one more time to our scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Then we go to verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every work. I'm working on getting you to put this in your memory. What does it mean to be complete? Some translations have used the word mature, adequate, perfect, or fully qualified, all implying that we are to grow as members of the family of God to be as mature, adequate, perfect, fully qualified, or complete as we need to be to serve Him to our potential. And here I say the word potential, because we are not all created spiritually equal. Some of us have been given certain gifts to make us equipped to serve in certain ways. For instance, in our Gideon camp, we have people that can go down to the street corner and stand and witness about the Word of God to complete strangers. I'm not one of them. But there we also have people that can go and stand in front of a crowd, large or small, either one, and witness to God's word. Now, our camp needs all of these people to be complete. So, do we respond to living up to our potential in our service to God? Well, now, I said I was going to bring you the wonderful news about the Gideon's International. Gideon's International is working on its 3 billion Testament and scriptures, Bibles. New Testaments and Bibles. They have passed out more than 2 billion. That's with a B, billion. I measured a Bible this morning, and I had to go to Google to do the math because there's so many numbers involved. I kept on getting messed up. It's about 1 3/8. There's about 43,000 miles of Bibles that have been, if you stack them one on top of another, it would be 43,000 miles up. That's how many Bibles. Now, granted, they're not all Bibles. Some of them are New Testaments. The New Testaments Bibles and New Testaments are given to a wide range of the traffic lanes of life. Hospitals, prisons, military, just to name a few. Word of God is alive, and it's a very beautiful thing because it has power to transform lives. Like this testimony from James from Huntsville, Alabama. As far back as I can remember, I have been involved in church activities. This included being a member of the Board of Deacons, chairman of the grounds committee, Sunday school teacher, and serving in the pulpit committee. During this period of my life, I did not know Jesus as my Savior. Now, isn't that hard to believe that a person could do all that and not know Jesus as your Savior? But it's possible. It's possible. And the knowledge has to move. It has to go migrate from up here down into here. It has to make that trip. Because of the void without him, I became an alcoholic and my life was very miserable. Gideon and his wife were concerned enough for the lost souls that they shared with me how I could accept Christ as my Savior. Using a personal worker's testament, which I read and cherish to this day, they led me to accept Jesus as my Savior. And through their follow-up, this couple has shown me how to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Well, since being born again, I have seen my house become a home. All four of my children know Christ as their Savior, and there is now a new and complete life for my family and me. It's all because Christ went to the cross for my sins, and because a member of the Gideons and his wife took the time to tell me about the plan of salvation. God uses the Gideon program to place his word in places where people come to a decision of life. The Gideons International started distributing the Word of God in 1908. Today, we have more than 300,000 members in Gideon's International. We have an untold number of supporters. We're in 200 countries. We're in more than 90 languages. And these dedicated individuals give their time and their money to make it possible for others to learn about the love of God by giving them access to His Word. In fact, we have placed and distributed more than 2 billion Bibles and New Testaments around the world, and it's counting. It's actually 2 billion, 15 million plus. The distribution of the first billion scriptures by Gideon's International spanned 93 years, from 1908 to 2001. Here's an interesting fact. The second billion was attained in less than 14 years. Whoa, isn't that cool? Wow, God's up to something. Man, he's moving it out to the edges. It's exciting. Well, God uses Gideon's to distribute his word also to the fifth grade students and up into the college students also. We distribute on college campuses where young people do battle with secular worldviews, with existentialism, with a lot of theologies that lead people away from God. Well, here's another testimony from a student. Years ago, there was a Gideon distributing copies of God's Word on the college campus. He placed a copy in the hands of Craig, a young fraternity student who was on a collision course with God. But through God's grace and mercy, that single copy of God's Word has had an impact far beyond what anyone could imagine. It was through reading that little green college testament that Craig came to know Jesus as his Savior. In particular, Craig says that it was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that spoke to his heart. He came to understand that we don't earn our way into heaven, but that we are saved through grace. Here's Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9, New King James Version. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what happened to this young college student? Well, you may be very surprised. And I'm going to stop there because I'd like you to go to the Gideon website. Gideon.org. Gideon's, plural. Gideon's.org. And check out some of the testimonies of how our donations, the memorial program, where we have in your church, we have a display of memorial cards that you can that you can use in situations like, say, for instance, when Chris's mother, Jenny, died, we were sent memorial cards that said, we have donated X amount of dollars to the Gideons in Jenny's name. Well, what a wonderful thing, because $5 buys a Bible. $2.50 buys a New Testament. In Jenny's name, there was many people that received God's word, and it was through that donation. It's through donations like that that what we do is we take the resources that are given to us. We Gideons fund the framework of this organization. All of the distribution, the purchasing, everything that takes place, the mechanics of the Gideons organization is done through our membership dues. All of the money that we take in through the gifts, through the offerings, through the memorials, is used to put God's word in his children's hands. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all heard the gospel and obeyed it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Landmark verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God that gives faith. And the Gideon's goal is to put that word into as many hands of God's children as possible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word speaks to us all. Whether we are seekers, new Christians, novice Christians, or mature Christians, God's will for us is that we would become mature Christians, equipped for every good work. Please pray with me. Again, Holy Father, we come before you and we praise you. We praise you for using your word to change our hearts from stone to flesh, for giving us membership into your family, for redeeming us, for taking the power of sin away, and for giving death no more power in our lives. We praise you, Father, for your mercy. We praise you for the grace that you save us by. Father, we ask you that whatever is in our hearts, that you would help us to be a part of your ministry, the ministry of your word. We pray this in Jesus' holy name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back to you, Dan.
Just to rest up. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this church service, and we ask you to bless us and have us go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It'll just be a few minutes.
Hey, I'm wondering if it's raining.
It might be. I got my umbrella.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.